stand in this podium and pulpit. And before I go any further, I want us to give honor to the pastors this house, Pastor Lynn, Pastor Pamela. We honor you. We thank you. Tim and Angela, who's out of town. My great buddy, Pastor B. I was over there worshiping. I could just hear Pastor B going, those of you that have been here, he's one of my greatest friends, but I could just hear Pastor B going, come on, come on. Anybody remember that? Come on, come on. You know, the Holy Spirit's already knocked all of us out. He's still going, come on, more, more. I could just sense that this morning. He's pleased, and God's pleased when we worship him like we do. Sister Darlene, Brother Bob, God bless you. I want to share a word. When Pastor Lynn asked me to come, I spoke this word. So this is the first time I've ever done this in 41 years of ministry, to preach a word at my church and then go the very next week and preach the same word at another church. But most of you didn't hear it, so it's going to be fresh for you. But I do believe it's a word. When Pastor Lynn asked me to bring this word today, it's a word I believe that every believer, much less every church, needs to hear. And let's get right into it. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11 through 17, and I'm reading from the NIV. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Say sons of God. And if you're a female, obviously a daughter of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but to receive the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified in him together. Many years ago, I was down preaching. My wife, Kathy, and I were down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I was preaching at a men's conference down there, and it happened to be the weekend that the big Triple Crown race, horse race, was being run, and there's a big horse track there in Hollywood, Florida, right next door to where we were, and there were people from all over the world that had come to be a part of this big historical horse race through satellite and all that was going on there. And there was this place that Kathy and I were at, and she was shopping, and they had some tables outside where you could sit and drink between restaurants, and I was sitting out there by myself. And all of a sudden, these men walked up, about five, six men, and they asked if they could sit. The places was packed, and I said, sure, and they sat down, started talking, and one of them introduced one of the men to me and said he's a major horse owner and said he just spent several million dollars for a colt that has not been born yet. Now, I'm a preacher. There's a sermon in there somewhere. And so I said, well, I'm a pastor of a church in Pensacola, Florida, and there's a message in this somewhere. I said, how do you spend millions of dollars for a horse that hasn't even born yet? You don't even know if it can run. And without hesitation, that gentleman looked at me, and he said, Reverend, I didn't buy the horse. I bought his bloodline. He said, I've already had my team do their research. His great-grandfather was a champion. His grandfather was a champion. His father was a champion. And we have no doubt that I just bought a champion. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. And that's where this message was birthed. The power of our bloodline. The scripture we just read said, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are, say are, we are the children of God. And if children, we are now heirs with God and joint heirs with Christ. And I want to say, we've already heard it mentioned so many times in this room already today, but many of us, if not all of us in this room today, there's some junk in the trunk. You know what I'm talking about? There's some stuff in our lineage. There's alcoholism, there's addiction, there's abuse, there's misuse, there's shame, there's guilt. There's low value, all of these things that still dictate, though we worship God, as Sister Pam so beautifully shared up here, We come and we worship God. We do all the right religious things and still we're not free. We look free, we act free, but there's still some things that's hanging on inside that we so desperately want to be free from, but yet they still continue to dictate our identity, and how you see yourself is how you will approach God as yourself. But you see, our bloodline doesn't start with a great-great-grandfather. Our bloodline, we just read, goes all the way back to the creator of it all, God himself. I want to just encourage some of you here this morning that the enemy's been lying to. Our lineage starts with God, but there's some heroes of the faith in our bloodline. There's faith in our bloodline through a man called Moses. There's sacrifice in our bloodline through a man called Abraham. There's boldness in mine in your bloodline through a man called David. There's courage in our bloodline through a man called Gideon. There's strength in our bloodline through a man called Samson. I want to say that there's prayer in our bloodline because of a man called Daniel. There's determination and persistency through a man called Nehemiah. There's devotion through a woman called Ruth. And the list goes on and on and on. We're not mutts. We're not misfits. We're not half-breeds. We've been created with purpose and destiny by God himself. And somewhere along this journey came interruptions, things that we did not desire, things we did not want, hurts that we did not want, abuse that came, shame that came, hurts, disappointments, and failure fill all of our lives in this room this day. But I got another word. David declared it. He said, God, all of my days you ordained before one of them ever came to me. Can I say to you today, not one thing in your life has caught God by surprise. Everything, say everything. Everything, both good and bad, that has taken place in your life is part of the process to get you to where you are right now. It was required. Jesus declared it. The old is gone, and the new is here. The old is passed away. Everything has become brand new. Anybody besides me has some things in your life that you wish to God hadn't happened? But without that chapter in your book has no purpose and meaning. Come on, somebody. I said, without that chapter, your story's not full. Without that chapter, your story's not complete. You prayed to God that you could die in the middle of that pain. But that's the picture frame that's highlighting the unique message of God through your life today. The very thing you despise the most is the thing God's using the most to let his power and his glory be demonstrated through your life. So there's these things that come. The enemy brings, I call them the deadly trio, to try to stifle us and to keep us bound in this lineage of depression and defeat. The first one is too many of us have learned to function in our dysfunction. Oh, we're saved and we're going to heaven, but we're bound on the way. We're miserable on the journey because we've learned to function in our dysfunction rather than embrace your new freedom. You keep going back through life high, drunk, stoned, angry, bitter, sick, offended, miserable. You ride the roller coaster ride of life of emotions, up one day, down the other, in church one month, out three, happy today, sad and depressed tomorrow. You never seek change, you've settled for survival. Learn to function in our dysfunction. The abnormals become normal to you, and you've settled for second best. You become bronze when God calls you gold. So I've learned to survive. I go to church. I pray enough to feel saved. I worship enough to feel free. I read enough Bible to know that I've done my duties today with God, and yet I'm still asking him the same questions I've asked him for 20 years. When are you going to take this pain away? When are you going to free me from this dysfunction that will not let go? Number two, you'll never change what you tolerate. At some point, we must stop and realize that we become so accustomed to the darkness and confinement of our cave that we prefer it over risking the freedom that life that God has made so freely available to us. That we've settled, that we tolerate the abuse that somebody brought upon me as a child. We tolerate the misuse of a spouse that took advantage of us. We tolerate the pain, the addictions that's been passed down. How many of us know? And as pastoring for 41 years, you don't know the number of people that have sat across my desk and they grew up in a home of abuse and they said, the day I get married, I'll never put a hand wrong on my wife. But guess what they do? They abuse their wife. How many addicts today grew up in a home of addiction and said, I'll never touch that. And the rest of my life, I've seen the destruction that it brings to my home. And yet we watch them repeat the same pattern that they saw in their home. Because you see, the poison of that lineage outside of the divine intervention of God will only increase with the generations to come. And we're going to talk about that in a few moments. And many of us in this building today, as saved as we are, we're equally bound by the lineage of our past that we had nothing to do with, but yet it still dictates, manipulates, and controls who we are today. Abused, molested as a child, low self-esteem, poverty, addictions, anger, unforgiveness, failure. As long as you accept these things as part of who you are and accept the emotional impact they're having on you, nothing changes. Somewhere in this journey, we've got to get tired enough of being tired that we say no more. You see, if I can throw this in, you don't mix a purebred with a donkey. And when I was in my church, I used a word that starts with a J and ends with two S's. But I'll be more polite here. But you don't mix a purebred with a donkey and get a thoroughbred. And some of us need to check out our relationships, the people we're running life with. We're a purebred trying to interrelate with a donkey. Wanting to know why life's so crazy. But donkeys and thoroughbreds don't hang out together in the same pasture. And we've got to come and stop tolerating abuse and manipulation and misuse and shame and condemnation. Stop allowing the actions and words of other people to manipulate you and control your identity and your future. Stop playing with the destructive habits and addictions that God has already freed you from. Let them go. And number three, stop talking about the way you are and start talking about what you're about to become. You see, no horse owner spends millions of dollars on a horse that they think is going to finish second. I said, no horse owner spends millions of dollars for a horse that they think is going to finish second. But I want to tell you, God gave more than $1 million for you. He gave more than $1 million for me. He gave his son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross, and he didn't die on a cross so you and I could become second. He died on the cross so that you and I could be in the winner's circle. I said he died on the cross because he said, I knew you before I formed you in the womb of your mother. I had destiny for you. I had purpose for you. I had a plan for your life. I knew you. I knew everything about you. I knew the abuse you were going to go through. I knew the shame you were going to face. I knew the destruction that was going to be in your lineage. I knew the junk that was going to be in that line. I knew everything about you before I created you, but I didn't create you for a ribbon for third place. I created you for the first place trophy. I created you for the winner's circle. I created you with purpose. I paid the ultimate price because I saw you in the circle before you ever knew you were going to run a race of life. I saw you as the champion that you are. I've been to the horse parks in Kentucky when we lived there. And we went into the major horse park by the big track there in Kentucky in Lexington. And there they still have the champions that won races and the big races, and they still have them there, and they treat them like royalty. I mean, total royalty. And you walk in there and you're around all these horses in the pasture and they're all just horses. But man, when you walk in there where those champions are at, they have attitude, man. I mean, they know they're a champion. They know they're of a different bloodline. They know they're thoroughbreds. They got it. They strut their stuff. They got it, man. And I want to tell you, the world is not looking for broken, discouraged, defeated, worthless people. They're looking for some believers to walk in on the job on Monday morning strutting an attitude. I've been bought with a price. I've already been paid for. I'm here with purpose. I'm here with destiny. I'm here a winner. I'm a champion in the kingdom of God. The road hadn't been easy. It hadn't always been comfortable. There's tears in my journey, pain in my journey, sleepless nights in my journey, wanting to die and get rid of it all in my journey. But here I am. I'm a champion. I've been called by God. I'm here with purpose. I'm here to make a difference. There's a reason that I'm here. And I want to say to you today, it's not you that hate, that Satan hates. It's not even you that Satan's trying to destroy. He's trying to destroy your purpose. He's trying to destroy your reason for being here. He's trying to destroy your story. He's trying to destroy your voice. He knows there's a world out there that's going to find their freedom through the dark chapters of your book. He's trying to silence you. He's trying to put you back down. But I'm here to tell you today, you are a winner. You are a champion. You've been called by God. You've been created specifically by Him. There's nobody else in the world like you. Stand up. Be proud. I am who I am in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I hate screaming preachers, and I'm screaming at you. It's a good scream. It's a good scream. So that all sounds good, Pastor Dan, but you don't know the stuff in my lineage. You just don't know my past. You don't know what's happened to me. You don't know mine either. Don't let this pulpit fool you. There's some pain on this journey. I held my 3-year-old grandson May the 18th. My 5-year-old grandson 3 years ago on May the 18th, I held him in my arms when he breathed his last breath. And he went to heaven. And it challenged my theology. I couldn't read a Bible or pray for 6 months. I was so angry at God. I've given you 38 years of my life and you won't heal my grandson? It challenged everything I preached. For 38 years, it challenged it. The pain was more than I can even explain to you. And then a year after that, my wife, the strongest woman of prayer and faith that I've ever met in my life, had a complete mental breakdown. Her estrogen totally left her body, and females understand what I'm saying, and it sent her psychotic before we knew what was happening. And we've been on a year of keeping my wife out of suicide. Thank God today she's back to Kathy. But I want to tell you, it was a journey that I cannot put into words. I just lost my grandson, and now I'm watching the strongest woman I know become the most vulnerable woman that I know. The journey's not always easy, my friend. Don't let people in a pulpit fool you. It's got us all. But I'm still here to tell you, the old's gone. And the new is here right now. Through that journey that I don't want, it's another story, because at our church, we're getting ready to open a clinic for mental health in Pensacola. And we would never even think about it had we not had this part of the chapter in our book. And we've got to come today and understand God has reason and purpose for every tear you've cried, every pain you've endured, every time you said, I quit. God said, not a chance. I've already got a trophy. I've got a winner's circle waiting for you. There's no quit. There's some sit down. There's some take a break. There's some things that we got to do in life, but there's no quit. I created you for a winner's circle. We're not going to quit. We're going to make it to that circle. So how do we do that? And I'm going long, so I got to get this together. Let's go look at a man called David. I'm going to go through this quick. David, a man who became a man after God's own heart. The apple of God's eye, a giant killer, eventually the king of Israel. Let's go look at David's lineage. I mean, he's all of that good stuff, but let's go see what David had to endure to get there. In Ruth, don't have to go there, I'm going to go quick. In Ruth chapter 4, 13 through 22, we see David's lineage on his father's side. And the Bible tells us that David is the 10th in the generation of the lineage of Perez, in which his father Jesse is from. So David is number 10 in the lineage of his father. And then we see in Deuteronomy 23, verses 3 through 6, that David is the 3rd in the lineage of Ruth the Moabite. But here's an issue. Jesus God had already cursed the Moabites because they refused to aid the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. And God said, no Moabite shall enter into my assembly or my presence, and none of you shall fellowship with them until the 10th generation. David was born under a curse from God that said David is not even allowed into his presence in his assembly, and no believer of God is allowed to have fellowship with him. So we got to go on this journey and find out then, how did David, who's born under a curse from God, of the presence of God, how does he become the apple of God's eye, the giant killer, and the king of Israel? Let's go to David's house. The very first time David is mentioned is when God told the prophet Samuel to go to Jesse's house and have him bring all of his sons into the house, and he was going to identify one of them as the new king of Israel, and Samuel was to anoint him as the new king. When Samuel went to Jesse's house, he told Jesse, I want you to have, God said, for you to have all of your sons in the house. When the prophet arrived, Jesse had seven of his sons in the house. He has eight sons. But seven of them were there, and all of them went past the prophet, and God said no. And the prophet looked at Jesse. Even when there was no king announced, Jesse still did not mention David. The prophet had to ask him, do you have another son? Because God has not identified one of these as the king of Israel. And so we have to come and ask the question, why was David not invited to the house? What was it about David? It wasn't his age, because he's depending on David to watch the sheep. It wasn't that he couldn't lead the sheep, because we already see that he had a caregiver that watched the sheep while he took lunch to his brothers. There was something deeper than that that caused Jesse not to invite David to the house to meet the prophet. Could it be that he was already disqualifying David? What did David really mean when he said in Psalms 51, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me? Now, in our hermeneutics in our churches today, we avoid that because we don't want to deal with the nitty-gritty. But if you go study the Jewish scholars, they teach that David was born and conceived out of a physical act of sin. Why is David's mother, Nitzah, never even mentioned in the Bible? Well, we're going somewhere. I knew it was going to get quiet here. Like, I ain't heard this. Got some heresy going on in the house now. No, I got scripture. I was shaped in iniquity and sin. Did my mother conceive me? Could that be a reason that his father didn't want him in the house? He'd already disqualified him. Why did David cry out his rejection of his own parents when he cried in Psalm 27:10, my father and my mother have both forsaken me? Why did David cry out regarding his own brothers in Psalm 69:8? I'm estranged from my brothers, and I'm an alien now to my mother's sons. They want nothing to do with me. David's rejection by his own natural family caused him to have a deep fear and equal rejection from God. And many of you in this room right now, you didn't grow up affirmed by a father, and you're having a hard time even receiving this message today that God really loves you that much. And David was having a hard time experiencing and accepting the love of God because he felt the rejection of a natural family. And we hear David's cry when he spoke directly to God. He said, Father, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Turn not your face from me. Cast me not away from your presence, O God. Why is David crying that? That's exactly what he experienced from his natural family. Listen to a rejected and broken man crying out to God in a plea of desperation in Psalm 69:1-8. David said, save me, O God, for the waters have come into my soul. I sink into deep mire where there is no standing. I have come unto deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for God. Anybody besides me been there? There's not another tear left, man. You're dried out. They that hate me without cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restore not which I took away. But listen to him now. Oh God, you know my foolishness. My sins are not hid from you. Let not those who wait on you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake, O God of Israel. You know what David actually just told God? David felt the shame of all of the rejection from his own family, the shame of all of the stuff in the lineage, that he felt so dirty that when he approached God, he said, God, if my being near you, if my being beside you and associated with you is going to cause others not want to come near you, then cast me away. That's a desperate man. That's a broken man. That's a man that feels no worth and no value within himself at all. Because for thy sake, God, I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my own brethren, and I'm an alien to my mother's children. So what really is taking place here? Jesus said in Exodus 20, verse 4 through 6. Y'all with me? He said in Exodus 24 through 6, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. God said to the Israelites that they had turned and they broke the second commandment, which God really showed was one of the main commandments, because they began to create false gods and worship other gods. And God said, to those that hate me, those that follow other gods, I'm putting a curse upon your family lineage for three and four generations. And now we can begin to see what David is really dealing with here, because Judah, the great ancestor of Jesse, David's father. Stay with me now. We're talking about David's father's side. Y'all with me? Because we're going to watch God destroy some stuff that's been owning you for generations, and it's not going to touch your children and your grandchildren as we go on. Come on, somebody. We already know on David's mother's side, Ruth the Moabite, that David is already cursed and an outcast to the presence of God. So he's got that going on. Now we go to David's father's side, and Judah, the very lineage of David's father, went out one day looking for a prostitute walking down the side of the road. It's in the Bible. I mean, this book's full, folks. I mean, why do drugs when you got a Bible? I mean, it'll just keep you high all the time. Judah went out looking for a prostitute walking down the street and picked up a woman, not knowing that he had picked up his own daughter-in-law, Tamar. Had relations with her, and she became pregnant. Come on, I mean, if you want to look at a man filled with dysfunction, you want to look at a man that has absolutely no chance of survival, no chance of a winner's circle, everything in life that can disqualify him, his name's David. This helps us understand David's roller coaster ride of emotions. It helps explain his brokenness and bitterness. It helps us understand him as an inadequate, dysfunctional father and husband. It brings to light the root cause of his adulterous affair with Bathsheba and the curse that opened the door for fornication, adultery, incest, and murder to fill his house. There was something far deeper than a weak moment on a rooftop when David looked over and saw a beautiful woman on another roof and had lust for her. It was way deeper than that. There was a war that had been going on inside of David for generations. He's now the next one in line. It owned him. It controlled him. It was everything he was. He wanted to do right. The things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the things that I hate, I find myself doing. I want to be right, but there's a war going on inside of me. And we see that war. And can I say this to you today? And I'm all about counseling. I'm in a counseling right now. I see a therapist every week because I went through complete chronic depression when I lost my grandson. Saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, loved God with all of my heart, but I was dead inside. I had nothing inside, and I'm still getting counseling. It's okay. It doesn't make me less than a man. It makes me a better man for my wife and a father to my children. But listen to me, you can get all that you want, and it's helpful, but it won't heal you. It'll help you, but it requires a divine intervention from God himself for that lineage to be broken. Now, how do we do that? Give me 10 more minutes? Now, we're fixing to have some church in here right now. You know, I'm just telling you, just go ahead and take that seatbelt off, because God's fixing to release some of you from 50, 60, 80, 100, 200 years of a curse that's been on your family. It's about to end right now. You want to know why this is so in touch with me right now? My dad died of a rare brain disease called primary progressive aphasia. My brother died of the same disease. He went from a 240-pound athlete to a 68-year-old skeleton when I held him in my arms and he went to heaven. He looked like a Holocaust victim. When they diagnosed my brother with the same disease in Shands Hospital in Gainesville, Florida, I was with him. The doctor looked at me and literally pointed his finger at me and said, "The same disease that took your father and now has your brother is in your bloodline and it will eventually take you. You just don't know it yet." I stood up from the chair and I pointed my finger back and I said, "I denounce every word that you just spoke over me. I don't receive one word from that." And it wasn't me that I was worried about. It's not going to touch my son. It ends right here. It's not going to the next generation. I'm going to live a long life, a happy life. I'm going to keep preaching this book for a long, long time. Listen, some of you have already been spoken over. You're nothing. You'll never be worth anything. You're going to be an alcoholic. You're going to be on drugs. You're going to be sad. You're going to be miserable. But God's bringing a word today to say no. Point back and say, "Does not affect me any longer. I'm a winner, created, bought for the winner's circle in Jesus' name." So how did it come? How did it come? Psalms 89. I'm going to close with this scripture. Third closing. Sorry. Psalms 89. This is the psalmist. "Once you spoke a vision to your favorite people, you said," talking about God, "I have found David my servant." Now, you only find something you're looking for. God said, "I found that dysfunctional, rejected, born in sin, disowned by his parents, rejected by his brothers, worthless, feeling worthless. I found him. I've been looking for him." Can I say this to you today? When you didn't want him, he was looking you up. When you cursed him, he was tracking you down. When you despised him, he was looking you up. He found you. That's why you're here today. He found you. He was searching for you. And he said, "I have found David my servant." Listen, "With sacred oil I have anointed him. My faithful love will be with him. He will call and out to me, 'You are my Father.'" Listen to what Jesus says. "And I will appoint him my firstborn." I will appoint him my firstborn. What God said was, "You know, I don't change my word, but I can add to it any way I want to." And he had already cursed the Moabites, so David's under a curse put by God. So you know what God did? David's in the lineage of Phares, filled with incest and murder and lust and fornication. He's in the lineage of his mother Ruth that's been cursed by God. And God says, I found David. Been looking for him. I found him. You know what I'm going to do, God said? I'm taking David out of being number 10 in his father's lineage. I'm taking David out of being number 3 in his mother's dysfunctional lineage, and I'm pulling David out, and I'm starting a brand new lineage with David, and David is no longer number 10 or number 3. He is the firstborn in a brand new lineage that I'm going to start. And here's what God goes on to say. He said, "I will maintain my love to him forever, and my covenant with him will never fail. I will establish his lineage forever, his throne for as long as the heavens endure." God said, "I'm taking David out, and I'm starting a brand new lineage with David. It's not going to have all the junk in the trunk. It's not going to have the perversion, the incest, the murder. It's not going to have this stuff. David's not going to have to carry the guilt and the shame of this any longer." Can I say to some of you today, you've been fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting all this stuff that you had nothing to do with. It came upon you. It was a part of you when you were born. It's just part of who you were. But God's brought a word today to tell you that he's ready to start a brand new lineage with you. He's taking you out. He's taken you out of that addiction in your family. He's taken you out of that abuse in your family. He's taken you out of that poverty in your family. He's taken you out of that disease in your family that keeps taking one relative after another. He's taken you out. He's taken you out. And he's starting a brand new lineage with you. And he's anointing you for the cause. He's anointing you for the purpose. And he said, my favor will be upon your lineage forever and forever and forever. You were molested and abused as a child. They said you would never be a fit wife or mother, but look at you now. Drugs, alcohol, addictions found throughout your family lineage. But here you are today, worshiping God because they have no stronghold on you any longer. Poverty, low self-esteem, insecurity fills your lineage, but today you worship God who declares that you're the head, not the tail. You're the victor, not a victim. You don't have to live like that any longer. Your joy, your peace, your happiness, and your purpose is not based on what somebody else has done in your family lineage. It's based on what God has already done on Calvary through his son, Jesus Christ. Today, you're the head, not the tail. You're created for the winner's circle. I love what Pastor Justin said at our church 2 weeks ago. He said, nothing about your future is behind you. Nothing about your future is behind you. You're not a mutt. You're not just a purebred. You're a thoroughbred. Can I challenge you today? Pick your head up. Allow God to do what he's wanting to do in your spirit and in your life today. Find your new position and a new lineage in God and start living out the champion that God declares that you are today. In Jesus' name. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Then Jesus says it in Revelation. He said, I am the root of David. Let God, Jesus, be your root today. Not alcoholism, not addiction, not shame, not guilt. Let Jesus be your root today. Everything starts over right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, you'll take this simple word, but yet it's your word and it's all powerful. And I pray that you speak not just to the heart. Today, God, I pray that you will let us receive your word today. And God, we're not going to keep wrestling and fighting the same thoughts, the same battles. Our pain was real. The issues are real. We're not making light of what we've been through, but they do not own us anymore. I am who you say I am. Christ's name. I know I've been way longer than I anticipated, but I just, you know, I try to be transparent with you. But if you're here today and this word's for you, the enemy's been lying to you, owning you. You love God, but you know in your heart, I hadn't been free. It's just this stuff's not going away. And this word's for you today. Would you just stand where you're at? I just want to pray. No, nobody needs to know why you're standing, but I just want to pray a prayer over you today. It's all across the board, folks. We have a ministry called Pastor to Pastor for Hurting Pastors. In the last 2 weeks, I've had 11 pastors call me from all over the nation. But it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Because you know what God's doing? He's getting us all healed. He's getting us all prepared. He's getting us all back in the winner's circle so we can do what he set us up to do in these final hours to bring the greatest move of God the world's ever seen. It's not bad. It's good. And right now, as you stand, I want to pray with you, and I want to ask you to let God, through his Holy Spirit, let this word, when you leave here today, you'll not think the same. Sunday, I preached this at my church, and some people came forward at the end for prayer. And a man walked up to me with his wife. He looked like Hulk's little brother. Just nothing but muscles. Military guy. He stood in front of me and he said, I've never told anybody this, including my wife, but I wanted her to hear me say this to you today, Pastor. He said, when I was 4 years old, I was raped by an uncle. And he said, it's owned me my whole life. It's dictated everything about me. I've never been able to be the man that I want to be because of what happened to me. And I've never verbalized it until right now to you. He was sobbing. Next to him, his wife said, "Pastor, he knows this." She said, "But when I was 14 years old," this is a new family in our church. She said, "When I was 14 years old, three of my uncles took me and they held me captive in one of my uncle's house. And my three uncles repeatedly raped me for 3 weeks with my mother and father's permission. They knew. They refused to allow me to report it, and I've never dealt with it, Pastor. It's owned me my whole life. And I watched two people give that junk, give that pain, throw it out at the feet of Jesus. And I watched Jesus begin. It's not all over in one day. We know that. We're getting them professional help. We're helping them as pastors, but that's deeper than we're qualified to do. So we've already set them up with professional counselors in our church. But I'm telling you, the word will bring us to a place that we're just ready to be healed. And I pray that that's where you're at today. That you know what, Pastor Lynn, is this okay? I want you to make a step of faith. Obviously, we don't have the ability to get to everybody personally, but I want you to make a step of faith. If you don't mind, you don't have to, but I want you to just come up here. By standing up here, you're signaling, you're doing something physical that tells God, "I'm serious, God," and you're telling the devil, "Your days are over. This is it. I'm bringing it to the altar." Come on, just come on up here, and we're going to pray over you. I apologize for going so long. But Jubilee's always been on God's thumb. God's always had his thumb on this church, on this ministry. You're vital in the kingdom. You're vital in this city. You're vital around the world. And for God to do what he's getting ready to do through us and through you, we got to get well. We've got to get well. We've got to get ready. And I want you just to lift your hands to heaven right now. And whatever you brought to this altar, whatever the enemy has used to mess with your mind and your emotions, he's held you captive. I want you to let God know right now, "Father, I'm putting this down at your feet. I am not going to carry this guilt. I'm not carrying this shame. I'm not going to carry this condemnation. I'm not going to carry my failure. Yes, I messed up. Yes, I made bad choices. But you know what? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The old is gone and the new is here. I didn't have any say-so over what they did to me. But they're not going to own me any longer. They're not going to own my mind. They're not going to own my emotion. They're not going to own my identity. I am who you say that I am. I declare it today, Father. I'm your child. You created me with purpose. I'm born with destiny. I'm a champion in your kingdom. I am who you say that I am. I declare today I'm a head, not a tail. I declare that I'm a victor. I'll no longer live like a victim. In Jesus' name, I right now ask you, Holy Spirit, to destroy this curse that's been in the lineage of my family. It'll no longer own me. It'll never touch my children again. It'll not go to my grandchildren or great-grandchildren. It is over. It is done. It is through. In Jesus' name, according to your word, according to your word, according to your word, it is done. In Jesus' name, Father, I receive your word right now. I receive it right now in Jesus' name. Father, we declare your word, Lord, to breathe life. Let your word breathe life, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, breathe, Holy Spirit. Breathe, Holy Spirit. Breathe, Holy Spirit. Breathe, Holy Spirit. Breathe a fresh wind. Breathe a fresh wind, God. Breathe a fresh anointing, Holy Spirit. Do it today, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You no longer own us. You no longer, Satan, control us. You no longer dictate who we are in you, God. But today, I'm a champion. I'm a champion. I was born to win. In Jesus' name, according to your word. According to your word. According to your word, Father. In Jesus' name. Come on, let him take you out of that lineage today. Begin to declare a brand new lineage. Father, I'm the first in a brand new lineage. I'm the first in a brand new season. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. According to your word, Father, we call it done. We call it so. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, can we just give him praise? Come on, just give him praise. Listen, I'm going to hand this over to Pastor. Thank you so much for allowing us to be with you today. It's always an honor, but I want to challenge you to do what I'm doing. And if you don't do this, the enemy's going to come back. I'm just going to tell you, but you need to find an accountability partner. reason I didn't try to go through everybody and pray for everybody up here, because I understand this is deeper than a one moment in an altar. I want to challenge you to find somebody and talk. Let it go. Let it out. We confess our sins one to another. There's freedom in that. Find somebody you trust and tell them, look, when Pastor was preaching, this was my issue, and I just need to talk it out with you right now. And I need somebody that's going to help me pray through this thing and keep me accountable, that I'm not going back to that old mindset. I'm not going back to those emotions. I'm not going back. Find you somebody. I do it every week. I have an accountability partner, and we talk through my pain. Because it's not over. There's still some stuff going on. But I'm still in the winner's circle. I have no thinking of leaving here. We were born for this. You were born for this, in Jesus' name. God bless you, Pastor Lee.
Thank you, Jesus. Wow. How many know we're in this series, Free to Be, and that message was right in this series? Amen? Do you believe that? Come on, what you have to do is, you can't leave this altar at the altar. You have to take it with you. You have to take it with you. It's a process, right? Every place of purpose has a process. And your purpose has a process. And I believe that today, if you have physical sickness in your body, I know we prayed earlier in the worship time. If you have any needs, or anybody you want to agree with to be agreed with in prayer, I'm going to invite our worship or our ministry team to come forward. Our worship team's already here. And just invite our ministry team to come forward. If you need special prayer, just kind of hang out here in the middle, and somebody will pray for you today. Thank you for being at Jubilee. God bless you. Be strong in the Lord. Amen. And the power of His might today. God bless you. See you soon.